And today we continue to talk about Deuteronomy 12:1-14. So covenant worship from one place to everywhere. This is the idea, from one place to everywhere. But when we look at the history of the people of Israel, we cannot forget God's general purpose when He created and He chose the people of Israel. When God came to Abraham, He made four main promises. Can you remember that? Four main promises. The first one, God promised to Abraham a land. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 said, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" This was the first promise to Abraham. But God promised too a nation, not only a land, but a nation. Verse 2 says, "I'll make you into a great nation," not just a simple nation, but a great nation. "And I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." He also promised to Abraham that all people would be blessed through him. Verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." God also promised descendants. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, "He looked him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars. If needed, you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" God even prophesied to Abraham that the people of Israel would be strangers and slaves for 400 years before it happened. The truth is, this revelation happened about 200 years before the people of Israel going to Egypt. Everything was under God's plan. Genesis 15, verse 13 says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. So after 400 years, God set his people free. And this journey could be done in only maybe 2 weeks, but took 40 years. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 to 5 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to show what was in your heart, whether or not you'd keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." Can you see? God is preparing Israel for something amazing. Something amazing. He needs to train them as we as a parent try to train our kids. There was a huge goal to the people of Israel. And with all this mind, we can see that the creation and choice of the people of Israel was part of a big, a much bigger plan. Keep this in your heart. God chose the people of Israel not because they were special, but they became special because God created them and called them and chose them. I will say again. God chose the people of Israel not because they were special, but they became special because God created and chose them to be light to the Gentiles. This is the reason. And you know that they did not understand well the reason. So God's plan was that through Israel, the knowledge of His glory would be reached all the nations. The kind of relationship, the close relationship that God had with Israel, He wants to Israel show for all the nations. So before we read Deuteronomy 12:1-14, we need to understand that the people was just like ready to get in this new land. So God is trying for the last time to try to be prepared. I have to you when you cross the Jordan. I have with you a new, a great kind of relationship. But you need to be prepared. You need to obey me. I left you 40 years. Try to prepare you for this moment. Because after they cross Jordan, their ministry starts. The ministry to show the relationship between them and God. So let's take a look in Deuteronomy. It's hard because Portuguese is Deuteronomio, and every time I see the stress is a different place, but okay. Deuteronomy. Yes? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Okay, but you understand, it's fine for me. Work with me. 12:1-14. And you look for three main themes here, okay? Three main themes. The first theme is in verse 1-4, the command to destroy Canaanite places of worship. Is the first theme here. First four verses. These are the decrees and laws you must be careful. Just remember, they were on the border to cross and get in the land, okay? They are not there yet, okay? So, these are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess. As long as you live in the land. Verse 2, destroy completely all the places on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every spreading tree, where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. God once again reminded the people of Israel that He was not joking. He was really serious about that. So the people were entering a new phase, and for all to be well in this new land, they had to obey God, everything, to do everything to obey Him. Look to these strong words that Moses uses here. destroy completely, break down, smash, burn, cut down, wipe out. It's very strong words. They need to clean everything. And why God command to destroy everything related to idolatry? Because God hates idolatry. We can answer this question, I think, with two words. First of all, God command them to destroy as a punishment to the Canaanite people. God hates idolatry. And everything needs to be destroyed. But the second word, beside punishment for the Canaanite people, was protection to the Israel people. Okay. If your kid had a problem to eat too much chocolate, okay, all the time in your house, he just go for chocolate. What the first thing you do? You put chocolate in front of his eyes, on the table. Most of you just take out chocolate in the house, from the house. So the eyes cannot see the chocolate. Okay. What I try to say here is God wants to clean everything because he knows the nature of the human being is to try to do, to sin. And God is trying to protect Israel from idolatry, from something that he hates. So he said, destroy everything. You cannot see anything of that, just even to not be attracted to that. This should not be an example for your kids in the future. So destroy everything. Take out the chocolate in front of your eyes. But you know that the nature, the human nature is so terrible that even though they destroy so many things, they still falling later. So the first theme was about the command to destroy the Canaanite place of worship. The second theme here, verse 5 to 6, is the command to worship at God's appointed place. Because, you know, this even is like psychology. If you take something out, you need to put something in front of you. And change the place. Okay? So, God said, destroy everything, the all kind of idolatry, but I will show you one place where you can offer a pure and a real worship. Verse 5 to 6 says, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God you choose from among all your tribes, to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offering and sacrifice, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give in your freewill offering, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. So Moses now talks about a special place. And this place won't be chosen by them, but God. I love this verse when it says, you are to seek the place. And I said, okay, but God said he will choose the place. But God said, you have to seek the place. Okay. Why? Did you play with your kids about hide and seek? I remember when I did with Isaf in Lizzie, long time ago, even in Brazil. And I remember, like, I said, go to the kitchen, and I stand behind the curtains and try to find me now. And when it takes too long, well, they are totally lost. What I do? Maybe you did this. Or I put my feet outside. Because I wanted to be found. So, I tell this silly story here. Because God said, here, I will show the place, but seek me. I want to see in your heart that you are seeking me. The desire to find me. But God has put his feet outside and, hey, if it's hard to you, I show you where am I. Because God wants you to find him. And he will make sometimes a lot of noise through circumstances of life to make sure that you find him. Because we are like sheep. Do you know sheep how dumb they are? This is why God called us, I think, sheep. And they want us to find. So here in the verse it said, it's okay, you have to seek the place. And I will show the place. God wants in the hearts of the people of Israel the desire, yes, Lord, I'm here, I will find you. But in the same way, God is doing everything to show exactly the place where they can worship him. Verse, another thing we see here in that place, bring your burnt offering and sacrifice. Verse 6, the place of worship was to be a place of atonement, confession. This place of worship, it's a place of atonement, confession, forgiveness. If you read before, what's happening during the sacrifice? So the person buy a lamb, bring to the high priest, and the high priest, the guy who brought, had to put his hand over the lamb's head, hold with the high priest, and the high priest kill the lamb that, and because of that, the sins of this guy who bought the lamb was forgiven. From one place to everywhere. When you look here and you look in the future, we see that Jesus as the Lamb of God who came and die in our place to pay for our sins. So everything we see in the Old Testament was an illustration, show something huge, something so important, something so amazing that you have in the future, that was Jesus Christ. So they said, they bring you burnt offerings and sacrifice. There you bring your tithes and special gifts. The place of worship was to be a place of giving, a place of generosity. Of course, there were other places where the could give, but that place was a special place chosen by God. So, in this third part now, Moses repeats God's ordinance for the people, and he adds one thing that I love it. the joy of real worship in God's appointed place. Place of worship is place of joy. Sometimes we go for some church, you know, and I had the experience, and they play, and people look like, place of worship is place to be happy. It's place to enjoy the presence of the Lord. It's a place to enjoy, like to be together with Ben here. So good. We are a family. Everybody knows here I'm from Brazil, but if you don't know, I'm from Brazil, okay? And I remember that when I sit with family, it's noise. It's really noise. Even when I was pastor in Brazil, every Sunday after church, most of the time, I go to my mom's house. Because my brother is going there too, and my mom cooks food for everybody, and you sit around the table, and we talk, and we yell, and if you don't know Brazilians, you think, even today, when I talk with Andrea, because I talk in Portuguese, people think that we are in an argument, because I use my hands, okay, sorry, too much, so. But it was so good. And I miss that. On every Sunday, I go there, I talk with my mom. It's kisses, hugs, and talk about everything. So, this is not different here. We come as a family. We come as a family in front of our Father. And we come, and we have to enjoy. It's not a heavy thing to come on Sunday, even when it's winter is coming. Should not be. Because, wow, I go there because as a community, not only individual, that of course we have to worship God in individual, but as in community, we are together to worship our God, our Father. And I will meet our friends, our brothers and sisters. It's fun. It's fun. There, rejoice before the Lord your God. Worship at God's appointed place must be marked with joy. So let's read. Then, to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you. Your burnt offering and sacrifice, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possession you have over to the Lord. Verse 12. And there rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites from your towns who have no allotment or inheritance of their own. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offering anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything I command you. So, covenant worship for one place to everywhere. We know that later, this special place became Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem. We know that, okay? But how can we connect this with us today? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 to 7 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, and the light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Israel was and Israel is in God's plan. We know that. But God's plan was not limited to his relationship with Israel. Okay? Israel was created with a goal. And Israel was created to make God known among the nation. And Jerusalem, as a physical place of worship, was only part for the first part of God's plan. Because do you know why? Because when Jesus came, and Jesus died, and Jesus raised again, team, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are. When Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman, in verse 20 to 24, we see that our ancestor worship on this mountain, said the woman. But you Jews claim that place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Your Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet this time is coming, and has now come, when the true worships will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worship the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in his spirit and truth. We don't need more the temple of Jerusalem. You are the temple. The covenant of worship for one place that God chose to Israel, to everywhere. When we are on the street, you are represent God. We hear, it's not about the place. We can meet any place. It's not the place that make this place holy. It's when we sit together, when we worship together, when we pray together, because of the presence of God inside us, those who follow Jesus Christ. Now, the responsibility that was in the people of Israel, now is with me and with you, to be light, to show the knowledge of God everywhere you go. Everywhere. In your job, in your university, in your family. To be light. To be light. 1 Corinthians chapter is not in the there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? It's straightforward from Paul. You are God's temple. You are. You are. This week, yesterday, I was doing my devotional, and I discover that music piano, music, instrumental, helps me to do my devotional. Because my mind is... And I put this song, and I pray, and I read when Jesus was praying in the Gethsemane. Huh? Gethsemane. Okay, in Portuguese, Gethsemane. Why you guys make so mess the language? English. Okay. And Jesus was there, and Jesus prayed just before to be betrayed. And people who know me, they know how was my week. Okay? They know how was my week. And I was praying, and I hear, I was reading that when Jesus said, God, Father, if it's possible, pass this cup from me. When I read this, I just said, wow, Jesus was afraid. The humanity of Jesus. Because if he was not afraid, he would not ask to pass. He, as a human, 100% human there, he knew as a God what is to come. The torture, the death, the way how he died, the suffering, everything he knew. And at the moment, he said, Father, if it's possible, do something. He was afraid. He was feeling afraid for anything, for this kind of stuff. And I said, do you know, God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. My daughter is in America. She was with bronchitis, pneumonia. I discovered I cannot to be there. We had problems this week with visa. My shoulder, finances, everything together. It's too much. But I said at the moment, it's God, Jesus. If you said, I'm afraid if it's possible, pass, I can say the same. And I said, God, you have to do something. You have to do something because it's hard. But I read the second part when Jesus said, but would not be my will, but your will. Yeah. So in our lives, we had moments that would be very difficult for us. I don't know why I told this here, just I jumped from the... But in our lives, would be very hard moments. And I want to say you, it's okay to say God is hurting. And I don't know if I can handle. It's okay. You are not less Christian because of that. Okay? It's okay. And you are not alone. Because our Lord Jesus Christ did the same. He went to the Father and said, God, if it's possible, but your will be done in my life. And I hope that God's will be done in your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your grace. And we are thankful that your Holy Spirit is in us. For those believing in Jesus Christ. Help us to show this light everywhere we walk in this country. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up.